starting Divrei Yamin Beis, Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. We're in the midst of Chizkiyahu HaMelech and everything that happened with him in Sennacherib. The last thing we did was that Chizkiyahu was given a tremendous tova, tremendous bracha, that he survived, not only survived, but had huge miracles happen in the war against Sennacherib, and that Sennacherib was able to leave him, and not only that, but it was gone forever. I mean, this is pretty much it. He never had to worry about Sennacherib ever again. The issue that he had at the end of his life is that he did not act with the proper respect or hakaras hatov toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, what he should have done is immediately said, you know what, this is not just stam something that happened, this is not just pure hashgacha, this is not just stam hashgacha, this is special hashgacha pratzah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of everything that happened. He should have sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he didn't, and for that, he did not become Mashiach, according to the Midrashim over here. All right, it says in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayilech Hizkiyahu Osher V'Chavod Harbe Ma'oid, he had tremendous riches and a lot of honor, V'Otzaros Osalo L'Chesel Ozov, he made tremendous treasures for all the silver and the gold, L'Avin Yekar, and the precious stones, L'Vsam, L'Meginim, as well as the spices, the shields, L'Chol Klei Chamden, all the precious things that he had, right, especially the stuff that he took from Sennacherib's army, right, when he captured everything over there, Miskinos L'Tvuas Dagam Sirosh V'Itor. He also had storage houses for all the different grain, the wine, and the oil. Now, we learned before that all the people in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech were these great Talmidei Chachamim. Seemingly, that would mean that they weren't working on the fields as much, that they weren't into agriculture. But they did. They did get into all this, and maybe this stuff grew a lot better than it did at any other time. They were zocha to have tremendous riches, even though they didn't really work very hard to get it. It says, v'uravos l'chol behema o'behema. There were also these types of stables for every type of animal, v'adarim la'averos, as well as flocks of sheep and cattle, and a lot of areas for them to be. He also made cities, right, just for the cities, and he also had these tremendous amounts of flocks of sheep and cattle. So many gave him a lot of riches. This is the same Chizkiyahu that we mentioned before that had done something wrong by closing up the waters of Gihon and making sure that those waters did not go out. So even though he did something that was wrong, nonetheless, he was rewarded with good things. By Yashrin Lamata Ma'arava, he also diverted them underground to the west, Le'ir David, toward Le'ir David, by Yatzach Chizkiyahu Bochmaseo. Yet he was successful in all of his endeavors. Even one sin that he did, and this is a big one, he did something that was completely wrong and not the right thing to do at that time. Nonetheless, this is something that he still got tremendous reward for everything else he did. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Is that really a sin?
Yes. In his case, as we said before, even though he had to do the natural things that a person should do in order to win the war, this war was special, and Chizkiyahu should have known that. Had he asked Yeshaya, he would have known that this war was a special war that was going to be won no matter what he did.
What Aser Loz Aser was he like, over?
Nothing. Just so simply put, lack of belief in Hashem. The same way that why did Moshe Rabbeinu? No, you're right, but it's an error. And in that sense, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go to Eretz Yisrael because of his sin in Mei Meriva, what did he do? Yan Asher Lohi Hamantim.
It's a lapse in judgment. It's not a sin.
That's correct. It was the lapse in judgment that caused him to be able to have that over here. That is 100% correct. Now, there is a cool thing that's mentioned over here. There was something in which Chizkiyahu is going to do one thing that was interesting. What we're going to speak about over here is the Babylonian officers. We said that Chizkiyahu ended up feeling a little bit haughty. He had gaiva, thinking that when the Babylonian officers are going to come to him, like we're about to say in the next pasuk, he thought it was because of him. I did something great. I deserved for the Babylonians to come into me. And it's interesting that the Babylonians then took over. After Chizkiyahu died, the Babylonians ended up having an army, and Nebuchadnezzar, who was serving in Sennacherib's army at the time, ended up being the king above all to punish everybody over here because of what happens over here. So what happened exactly? Chazal say something crazy. On the day that Berodach Bladon was taking a nap in the middle of the day itself, so Chizkiyahu was sick, and Chizkiyahu was healed, and Hashem did a tremendous miracle on that day and added 10 hours to the day. So he woke up from the nap, looked up at the sky, and saw that it was still morning. He looked at his servants, and he said, I don't understand. Did I just sleep until the next morning? I mean, I usually sleep in the middle of the day, but I just woke up, and obviously something there. Do you just let me sleep for 24 hours? What just happened over here? 20 hours altogether? Servants told him, no, we have no idea. The sun has not set. The sun is staying in the sky, and it's been 10 hours already. Baruch Bladin tried to find out, who in the world is this for? Why did this happen? The Jews were claiming it was because of Chizkiah. So Baruch Bladin sent messengers to Chizkiah to go see how great of a person he was and how great his God was, etc. And that was that. This is all God testing Chizkiah to see how he would react to such a visit. Would he react with gaiva, with flattery? How would he react to such a visit? And unfortunately, he did not act in the proper way over here. It didn't work out in the best way over here. Yeah.
No.
Okay, so the second thing is that alternatively, it's possible that Chizkiah also showed off his queen. Remember we said before that Yeshaya gave him his daughter as his wife, and that woman ended up having the child of Menasha. Chazal tell us that he had his wife serve the Babylonians at these meals, and that his wife ended up, I don't want to say falling in love, was attracted to one of the Babylonian officers. And because of that attraction, the child that she had was still from Chizkiah, obviously. But there was an attraction that caused the child to be a little bit off, yeah, spiritually, we'll call it. And because of that, unfortunately, that was the child that he had from it.
Mistake Ahasuerus made, parading Vashti, right?
That's an interesting call. Interesting call, or trying to.
Right.
Asking to. The Chem B'Melite Sari Bavol Meshalchem Alav Lidro Sham Mofes Asher Yiba Oretz. Azvo, so too in the matter of the Babylonian officers that were sent to him to ask about the miracle that happened Be'eretz Azavo Elokim. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left him L'Nasos L'Das Kol B'Vavo. He wanted to test him. He wanted to see what was in his heart, and unfortunately, he failed. The rest of what Chizkiah said and his chasadim, it was written in the Navi of Yeshaya ben Amos HaNavi. I'll say from Malchi Yehuda v'Yisrael through the Sefer Malchi Yehuda v'Yisrael. This seems to be Sefer Yeshaya. I don't think there's any question about that. Chizkiah died with his father ben David. They buried him in the best of the kavarim of Bnei David. They did a lot of honor for him. All the people of Yehuda and the people that lived in Yerushalayim. And Menashe, his son, ended up becoming king. Says the Gemara in Bava Kama at the end of the first parak, says a yeshiva was established on his grave so that people would be learning constantly and the learning would go for him. Another view is that a Sefer Torah was placed on his coffin. They said this guy was able to be Mekayim everything that's written in the Sefer Torah, which is again a tremendous, tremendous level. Parak Lama Gimel says, Ben Shtemis Reishana Menashe Malcho. Menashe was 12 years old when he became king. He was king for 55 years altogether in Yerushalayim. Again, so 12 years old when he became king, 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem, like all the abominations of the nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had driven out from Bnei Yisrael. He returned, he brought back and built up the bones that Yechizkiah had already broken down. He built up these mizbechos to the Baal. He made asheros trees. He bowed down to all the hosts of the heavens. And he served them, doing everything he could for them. And he also, even worse, not only did he build mizbechos and bamos outside of the Beis Hamikdash, he built mizbechos and bamos for his gods in the Beis Hamikdash itself. He brought them in. Some say that one of the reasons why we fast, Shavuos Batamos and Tisha B'Av, I don't remember which one, it's one of the two, I just don't remember. He was Hemid Tselem Behechel. Some say that was Menashe that was Hemid Tselem Behechel. Menashe Hemid Tselem Behechel. And it was this, that we say the Mizbechos Bebeis Hashem, Asher Omar Hashem Yerushalayim Yeshmi Lolam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yerushalayim, my name should be the forever, even Mizbechos Lechol Tzvah Hashemayim, B'Shtei Chatzos Beis Hashem. He built Mizbechos to all the heavens of the earth, right, in both of the Chatzos Beis Hashem. In other words, he didn't just leave it as the God that I believe in. He built a Mizbech for every single one of the constellations. Then he built one for even the other constellations that are above, Ursa Minor, Ursa Major, for Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, which are not constellations that we use as our 12 or as our zodiac. But even for those, he built Mizbechos for everything over there. Buheber is Banaba Esh. He brought his children through the fires of Gei Ben Hinnom. In the Valley of Ben Hinnom, he allowed those priests of Molech to come back to the Valley of Ben Hinnom. And he allowed his children to be brought through there. Luckily, one of his children survived. But the children, well, the child that he had was actually very evil. But regardless, you know, we eventually got to Yoshia. The Onin, V'nichesh, V'chishe, V'asa, Ovi, not only that, he dealt with the clouds. In other words, he did astrology. Nichesh, he did omens, practiced omens. Kishev, he did magic. As Ovi Yedoni, he practiced necromancy. Hirbo lasos Rabbi Hashem lachiso. He did a lot of evil, and it was lahachis. It was not out of a taiva where he felt like he wanted to do something. He did it purely to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosem. As Pesel Asam Asher Asav Beis Elokim Asher Omer Elokim El David Bel Shlom Beno Bavais Zeb Yerushalayim Asher Vachartim Kol Shivti Yisrael Sim As Shmi Leolam. He put that Pesel, that idol that he had made, he put it in the Beis HaMikdash, the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David and Shlomo his son, that in this house in Yerushalayim I have chosen for all the Shvatim to put my name there. Instead, he put this idol inside. He said, I will no longer remove regular Yisrael, the feet of Yisrael Me'al Adomar from the land of Sharamadhi Level Sechem that I gave to your fathers, that I served for your fathers. Rak im Yishmu Lasos Kol Shere Tzivistim L'chol HaTorah V'chug V'mishpat V'yad Moshe, as long as you keep the Torah to everything I commanded you in the Torah itself through the hands of Moshe. But yes, Menashe, Yehuda V'yosha Yerushalayim. But Menashe led Yehuda and Yerushalayim. They led them astray. Lasos Ra, Mina Goyim Asher Yishma Hashem B'mine Yisrael. They were more evil than the nations that preceded Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. That's how bad it was. The Kenanim, right, was that. Now, to say this over here, it is interesting. Menashe is listed in the Gemara and Sanhedrin as Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. He's one of the three kings that has no Chelek in Olam Haba. Him, Yeravam, and Achav. Yeravam and Achav were both from Malchi Yisrael. Menashe is the only representative for this from the Malchi Yehuda. We're going to see there is a king, you know, his son is also extremely evil, but he's mentioned over there. But it's interesting, there is a machlokas whether he gains a Chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara, I mean, obviously that Mishnah, Stam Mishnah says that he had no Chelek in Olam Haba. It seems Rabbi Eliezer holds that Menashe did tshuva at the end of his life. That even though he was extremely evil in the beginning of his life, right, it's clear he did tshuva toward the end. Now, we're going to hint to that over here. Out of the 55 years that he was king, 22 years he ended up doing tshuva, but he wasn't able to undo the evil that the other nations did to him. Meaning everything that had happened over there, unfortunately, was never able to take it down. That was never able to be changed. Come, we have an Avi for you. Come right over here, Ellie. But he was never able to change that, and that was that. Some say, again, that he got Olam Haba. Most say that he did not, and that was that whatsoever. In fact, the reason why he was named Menashe is because Nasha Yah Es Yisrael. God forgot about Israel. In Divrei Yamin, Perek Lama Beis toward the very end. Oh, perfect. Right? In which it says he caused the Jews to forget God and caused God to forget the people. That's how bad it was over here. The question really is whether or not it was a personal flaw or a flaw for the entire nation. But it was bad. It was really bad. We're talking about a time that was really bad for all of Klal Yisrael, and there's really almost nothing that they were able to do to be able to get around it, and that's that. The Gemara, Sanhedrin Kuf Beis Ma Beis, relates an unbelievable maisa where Ravashi got up and he said, tomorrow we're going to talk about our friends. And his plan was to darshan about Menashe and how evil Menashe was. This is Ravashi. Ravashi from the famous Gemara, we're talking Gemara, you know, the author, redactor, I guess you can say, of the Gemara, of Talmud Bavli. Ravashi got up. That night, Ravashi had a dream. Menashe came to him in a dream. Menashe said to him, how dare you call me a friend of yours? You think I'm your friend? Where do you slice the bread, right, for Hamotzi? So Ravashi said, I don't know. So Menashe said, you don't even know where to slice the bread for Hamotzi? And you think you're my friend? So Ravashi said, I don't understand. If you're such a Talmid Chacham, if you know so much, how in the world? He asked him, and he said, it's from the place where the bread first bakes. That's where you go through. So he said, so why did you become such a Rasha? How did that happen? He said, if you would have been around at that time where the pull of Avodah Zarah was that strong, you would have lifted up your skirt, in other words, your robe, and you would have run after it like I did. That's what he told Ravashi. It really is the line that the bigger the Talmud Chacham you are, the greater your Yetzer Hara is 100% true. And that Menashe, unfortunately, came under fire because that's what happened to him. Okay, it was unbelievable. There was a fire sitting on the Mizbeach for centuries. Over 250 years there was a fire on the Mizbeach, and it never went out. Menashe came and poured it out. Took water and poured it out completely. Just an unbelievable Yetzer Hara that he did over here. What else over here? Menashe, okay, so it does say a couple things over here. Achaz, right, put an idol inside the Mizbeach itself, but he never had the gall to put it in the Beis HaMikdash itself, right? He brought it into the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe brought it inside. He brought it in, and he brought an idol that had four images on all four sides. So whenever you went into the Beis HaMikdash, you were looking at the face of an idol. It's like, you can't believe what ended up doing with this. Not even that. That wasn't even enough. You know what else he did? He took every Sefer Torah that he could find, erased all of God's names inside there, and put in the name of his idol instead. So instead of Bereshis Bara Elohim, Elohim, I guess he left, right? But every time he said Yud Kei Vav Kei, he took it out and he put in whatever his idol's name was. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. We don't get how somebody can be that evil. Why a person would be that evil. But that's what happened with Menashe himself. So it says in Pasuk Yud, Vayidaber Hashem El Menashe V'alamo V'lo Ikshivo. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Menashe and the people, but they wouldn't listen. He gave messages. Remember, Menashe's Zaydi was Yeshaya HaNavi. It's not like there weren't Nevi'im at the time. Hosea was living there, Yoel, Amos. There were tremendous Nevi'im at the time. It's not like we're dealing when there weren't any people to go around there. There were tremendous tzaddikim that were over there, and yet nonetheless, they were there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them the officers of the army that the king of Assyria had. They captured Menashe with thorns. They jailed him and put him in copper chains by Yulchu Bavela. And they brought him into Bavela, carted him off to Bavela. When things were really bad, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he humbled himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what to do. How am I supposed to get this out of here? He humbled himself toward the end of his life. Vayispalo elav, and he davened. Vayasol and Hashem listened. Vayishma tchinaso, and he listened to his prayer, supplication. Vayishavir Yerushalayim lemalchuso. He brought him back to Yerushalayim, to his kingdom. Vayeda Menashe ki Hashem elokim. Menashe then knew Hashem is God. Once he davened and he saw that he was saved, immediately he realized, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. Afterward, he built the outer wall for the Ir David. Marvel Gichon. He came out. Everything was good. He built up Marvel Gichon Banachal, the west side of the river Gichon. He went in through the gate of the fish. We have no idea why it's called the fish gate. I don't know why they would have ever brought fish into the base of Mikdash. It's not like they ever brought it as a korban, but it's called the fish gate. The Savil Ophel, around the area called the Ophel. He made it very high. He made officers, soldiers, stand in every area that was fortified in Yehuda, because he knew it's close to the time of the Chorban. He doesn't know when the Chorban's happening, but he knew it was close. He took out the gods, the strange gods, and the idols from the base of Mizbech. Took out all the statues, the Mizbechos, that he had built in the Har Beis Hashem of Yerushalayim. And he threw them outside the city. And that was the major problem of Menashe. Menashe, as great as he was, he didn't watch the people properly enough. He said to his people, he said to his officers, and he said, guys, get rid of these completely. I want them out. And they brought them out. And they put them right outside the city walls. And they kept them right there. Okay, we won't serve them in Yerushalayim anymore. Menashe didn't even know that they were still outside the city walls. He thought they got rid of the Avodah Zarah completely, but they didn't. They left it right there, and that was a huge issue. The fact that they did not get rid of it, or Menashe did not get rid of it completely, meant people still kept it. So as much as he had done tshuva, he had caused so many others to sin, right? So many others to do the wrong thing, and he never brought them back. He never got those people to get themselves back, and that was a major, major issue. I'm sorry?
Is Tel Aviv.
Why?
Because it says he built up the west wall. So it makes sense.
That's too far away. Why would they bring something there? I don't even know why they would
just
do it.
It's faced that way.
So strange. Oh, it faced toward Tel Aviv. You're saying it faced toward the port.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's just the west side. Oh, I think then it's in Tel Aviv.
No, he sat there and he's like, let's make a gate here.
And everybody's like, why would you do that?
West, just like what you're saying. Yaffa.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Facing Yaffa. Very good. Maybe that is. Maybe it's the same thing. Good call. That's a really good call. But Yasser is Alei Nechor. Is there nothing? I don't have any Mefortune that mentioned Shar Dagim over here.
No,
does anybody have it?
Here.
No, I don't have anything. Okay. All right, fine. So now what happened over here? It says, by Yivanes Mizbach Hashem, he built up the Mizbach of Hashem again. By Yizbach Lav Zivche Shlom V'Toda, he brought Shlomim and Todas. By Yomer Lehud, and he said to Yehuda, Lavoid Es Hashem L'Kei Yisrael, they should serve God. Aval Oida Am Zavchim Babamayis, but the people were still shachting on their Bamos, Rak L'Hashem Eloheim. But to the God of Israel. Meaning, they still worshipped Hashem, but they were serving on Bamos. They couldn't get over the fact that they could serve in their backyard. It's really hard. Again, you miss Marvin Scholl, right? What do? You daven at home, right? So what did these people do? They couldn't go to the Beis HaMikdash. They davened at home. They brought their Mizbeach at home.
It's a lot easier.
They felt like, they said, yeah, it's a lot easier. You get in your backyard, you have a little barbecue, right? Okay. You won't eat anything. It's an ola, right? You have a little bit more, you know, you add another animal to the barbecue, and you have something for yourself as well. You get something as well. The rest of the words of Menashe and his prayer to Akashbach, and the words of the prophets that spoke to him, B'Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, in the name of God, the God of Israel, Hinam Al Divrei Malchi Yisrael. It is written by the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Obviously not Malchi Yisrael alone, because there were Malchi Yehuda, but these were people. Some say, by the way, there was a prophet by the name of Hozoi, who lived in the days of Menashe, and those were the Chozim, the people from Hozoi, right, that spoke to him. And it says, right? His tefila, the fact that he davened to Hashem, his chatos, what he did wrong, the places that he built up the bumbles. I mean, Asherim Apsilim, where he put up the Asherah trees and the idols with Ne'ekano before he went bad, before he did tshuva, I'm sorry. Hinok suval divrei Chozoi. They're written in the words of Chozoi, one of those prophets. We obviously do not have that sefer. Ve'ishka Menashe Mavosav. Menashe slept with his father Yekbru Beso, and they buried him in his house. And Amon, his son, was king after him. Now, obviously, that is interesting. Everybody else is buried by Ir David. Everybody else is buried by the Kivri HaMalachim. Menashe was not allowed. Menashe was not allowed to be buried inside the area over there.
Why use the term Vayishka Menashe Yimel Asav? Which implies, like...
Well...
And it says Vayikru Beito, but like...
I hear what you're saying. By Yishkav Menashe Mavosav. Well, that might be a riot of those who say that Menashe went to Olam Haba. You know, he slept with his fathers. But you're right.
It doesn't make sense to use that terminology. It could have just said he died and he was buried in his house.
That's interesting. It says right here from Rav Avigdor Miller that Rav Avigdor Miller says that nobody wanted to be involved in his kvura. They just didn't want to. They didn't want to do anything whatsoever. He was buried. But not that anybody specifically buried him, went around there. Perhaps, you know what? Maybe it's like this. Maybe the people planned on bringing him into the kever of his fathers. And he said as a final kapara for himself, don't allow me to be buried there. Bring me to be buried somewhere else so I don't have to deal with that.
Rashi says he wasn't zocha.
That he wasn't zocha, right. That is what Rashi says. It wasn't zocha to be buried together.
Still, why use the terminology?
I would assume there's got to be something interesting because we do have that machlokas on whether or not, which is interesting, right? Whether or not there's going to be, whether or not he went to Olam Haba. So perhaps, right? That's right. Part of the machlokas itself.
And like you said, it could be a riot that he did because if you're not going to use that, if you're going to use that terminology, it means like all wasn't lost.
Mm-hmm.
He did all, like he did tshuva.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, there's so many diyukim that a person can make here. Did you notice he built up the walls of the Beis HaMikdash before he took out the idols from the Beis HaMikdash? Sounds like Imamish didn't care. Sounds like he took out the idols only afterward. I mean, it could be that he was building up in his tshuva, and it could be he felt that the Shmira for Bnei Yisrael was more important than taking out the idols. That's possible that he was worried about that, and that's what he was doing over here. Could be there's something different. I don't know. That's an interesting line over here. Maybe there's something different. Maybe they made like something that was different over here. They made like something, I don't know, really interesting. What they are, what they did do, what they didn't do, how they got involved and things like that. Okay, either way. So now it takes us down to, where are we over here? King Amon, Ben Esrim Shtayim Shana Amon Ben Malcho. 22 years old Amon was in his reign. Shtayim Shana Malcho Yerushalayim. He only reigned for 2 years. Died at the age of 24. Done at 24. By Yasser Rabbi and Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem Kasher also Menashe Aviv, like Menashe's father did. L'chol Apsilim Asher also Menashe Aviv, like all the idols that Menashe's father made. Zibach Amon Vayavdeim, he shechted to them and he served them. Remember, Menashe never got rid of them. He thought he got rid of them, but he didn't. They were outside the city. Amon brought them back in. V'lo Nicham L'fnei Hashem, he did not do tshuva in front of Hashem. Ki kana Menashe Aviv, like Menashe's father did. Ki wa Amon hir ba'ashma. He, Amon, did a lot of guilt, did a lot of evil things. By Yikshuru Alav Avodav, his servants said they conspired against him, and they killed him. By Yaakov Amma Artis Kol HaKeshom HaMelech, the people then killed those who conspired against the king Amon. By Amlicho Amma Artis Yoshio Ben Otachtav, and the people brought Yoshia, his son, to be king instead. Now Yoshia could not be very old. No. His father was only 24 years old, right? So what happened? Ben Shmona Shanim Yoshia Ben Malcho. 8 years old, Yoshua was in his kingdom. Shloshim Achas Shana Malach Yerushalayim. He reigned for 31 years. Still young, 39. I'm 39. That's there. But Yasa Yoshua Ben Hashem did what's right in the eyes of Hashem. Yelef Edarchi David Aviv. He went in the ways of David his father. Velosar Yamin Ismol. He didn't go right or left. That's great wording. He didn't go right or left from what his father David HaMelech did. That means he mamish is one of the best kings of all time. This is the guy who listened to everything that David HaMelech did and David HaMelech said, etc. He literally was there. It is really, really interesting that he went there. Okay.
It's the literal meaning of Vayas HaYosha V'Enei Hashem.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the interesting part. You look at this and you're like, something's wrong over here. Something is wrong. Something seems a little bit off. Achaz was a tremendously evil king, and yet he had Chizkiyahu HaMelech as his son, who was an unbelievable tzaddik from the first day that he became king. Like, from day one, he was already a tzaddik. That's already strange enough, like an unbelievable thing in the first place, right? That's number one. Chizkiyahu HaMelech then had a son who was unbelievably evil, Menashe. So it could be that Menashe grew up in the lap of Achaz. But that can't be.
He was dead.
Because Menashe never could have seen Achaz. Achaz should have been dead for almost 12 years by the time Menashe was born. Right? It doesn't make any sense. So where did he learn to be evil if everyone at the time was awesome? Everyone at the time. And if you would have said that Menashe became evil later on in his reign, I could somewhat understand it. But he didn't. He became evil in the beginning. It's very strange to have a 12-year-old who's so far gone that in the beginning of his reign, he does unbelievable evil things. That's crazy. And then for him to have a son, Amon, who's just that evil, okay, that makes sense, right? That his son would follow along with him. But for Amon to have an 8-year-old son who was a tzaddik is a shocker. How that happened and where that happened, this is all, I guess you can say it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just very, very, very strange. Now, the craziest thing about Yoshia was already prophesied about technically beforehand. Yoshia was prophesied about from Edo, and it's in Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel, where Edo says out loud, there will be a king born named Yoshia, and he will do awesome things for the nation. It's prophesied about almost 100 years, maybe even 150 years before he was born. Very rarely will you see something like that, where people are named. Granted, there are certain places, like I forgot who it was. Was it Haggai who spoke about Koresh? No, before that, Yirmiah talked about Koresh being this awesome king. And Koresh ended up taking over the kingdom and was very good to the Jews, Koresh the First, right? Something like that. But Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says there were 6 people who were designated by name before they were born, and they're so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that nothing was going to happen to them, and Yoshia was one of them. What's up?
So why would Amon, who's such a horrible Russia, name his son?
Yoshia? I'm sure he didn't know. I'm sure he didn't know the prophecy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it on purpose. Somehow he did it. Or his mother named him that. Maybe many people named their kid Yoshia for that reason. I always ask, why don't people don't just name their kids Mashiach? You know, just hope, right, that's going to be there. Technically, you should know that Mashiach is not really the name, right? Mashiach is a composite of the 4 names that Mashiach could be, right? Where it's, what are the 4? It's Menachem, Shiloh, Yanai, or Chizkiyah. It's any of those. Right, so and technically that's what Mashiach means. And it's also the anointed one. That's all it stands for. It doesn't mean anything more than that. But regardless, it is really interesting. So it says over here, it says, Ubeshmona Shanim Lamocho, 8 years into his kingdom. Now some say this is when he was 8 years old and he became king, right? Immediately. And that would have been a real shocker because at 8 years old, all of a sudden he's like this unbelievable tzaddik, born from an unbelievable Russia who's doing a Avodah Zarah every single day. It seems more likely this was 8 years into his kingdom. You get it? He's 16 years old now. He was still young. He started to darshan about Elokei David, his father. 12 years into his kingdom, he began to be Matar, all of Yehuda Rishlam, mean Abamos, Vashem, Absilim, Amasechos. It's interesting. It took him 4 years to start and finish. I think that tells you how badly Yoshia had the nation. That Yoshia had them, Menashe had the nation. That they were so bad that Yoshia took a while to figure it out, right, what ended up happening over here. But this is Machlokas Rishonim. The Ralbag says that he was 8 years old when this happened. According to the Doros Rishonim, it happened when he was 16 years old. The Abarbanel seems that he was righteous right from the beginning, right? But there's Machlokas. Machlokas, what exactly, when did this exactly happened over here? Okay. It could be, this is what he did, so number one, he knocked down all the mizbechos of the Ba'alim, v'achamanim, the sun gods, v'ashalamalam e'aleihem, gidea, right, that were right in front of them, he cut them down, anything that was on top of them, v'asherim, v'apsilim, v'asechos, shibar, he broke down all the different Asherah trees and everything like that, v'heidak, he, you know, crushed them, v'yizro kapanei akvarim, and he sprinkled all of the dust of these mizbechos on the face of the graves, hazov chamam, of those who sacrificed to them. Ki'ilu, to say you're filled with tuma, right? And you should have these gods with you in your, you know, gehenim of your olam hab over here. The bones of the priest, he burned their bodies on top of the mizbechos. And he was matar Yehuda v'Yishlaim. So that's a little graphic. That's just a little graphic. And it says Menashe, Ephraim, Shimon, all the way to Naphtali, right? It says becharbo sehem saviv. Right? All their hatchets. He went around destroying everyone. He knocked them down if they were mamish. Nothing. Vayashav Yerushalayim, and then he came back to Yerushalayim. So this is good. He went around himself. He didn't give it to his servants to bring out and destroy, because he knew he couldn't trust them. He did it himself. He went out with a hatchet, with a massive axe, and started knocking down every bit of Avodah Zarah that he could find, as much as he could. He motivated people to get involved over here, to try to get involved over here. It could be also that he did, it doesn't say over here that he did tshuva, right? But it seems, according to the Medrash, that he also did tshuva for anything that he might have judged or done beforehand, before he was 16. B'shnas, Shemona Seyla Malcho, in the 18th year of his kingdom, Latara Oretz, after he was Matara the land, Vabayas in the basement, Shalachas, Shafan Ben Atzal, Yehuves, Maseyu, Sara, Irves, Yoach Ben Yoachas, Amazkir, Lachazik, Beis Hashem, Lakov. Sent three people. We got Shafan, we got Maaseyahu, and Yoach, he was the secretary, to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to say, like, what do we need to do to make this look better? Clearly, we got to do something. What should we do? Yavo el Chilkiyo HaKohen HaGadol. They came to Chilkiyo the Kohen Gadol. Vayidnu et hakesef muva beis Elohim. And they gave him the money that they brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Also, a Leviim Shomri Asaf, that the Leviim had gathered, the people were in charge. Mi'a Menashe of Ephraim, from the hands of Menashe of Ephraim. Mikol Sher Yisrael, from all the rest of Yisrael. Mikol Yehuda Binyamin, from Yehuda Binyamin. V'yashuvu Yerushalayim. And they returned back to Yerushalayim, right? So they returned back to Yerushalayim itself. They gave it to the people who were going to do the work. They were appointed in the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to repair and reinforce the Beis HaMikdash itself, right? How they were going to do everything and put everything together. It's amazing. Okay, so the cleansing was done. The destruction of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah was done. He then went ahead and made sure that the money was going to be collected. The money was then given over to the workers, and they did everything. They searched for structural breaks and anything they might need to fix. And they did it. They combed through the area in order to fix up the area as much as possible. They gave it over to the carpenters and the builders, right, to buy all the stones that they needed quarried, and the wood they needed for joints, and to roof the houses that all the kings of Yehuda had destroyed. They went ahead and they did everything they could. This is like a brand new, like stimulizing, I guess you can say, the economy, and making sure that everybody has something to do. They wanted to make it awesome. Something that was going to be really, really good. And this is sort of like the background. As they're building up the Beis HaMikdash and fixing up everything and making sure that everything's better, right, and doing everything they need, v'anashim osim b'amunah, those people were doing it trustworthy-wise, v'malacha v'aleim ufkadim, yachas ovadia levim b'nei marari, they had those people from b'nei marari, zchariyo mishulim b'nei akasim, linatzeach, those are the people that are going to be in charge of it, they were overseers, I guess you can say, v'alevim kol mevim b'klei shir, and there were levim, people that understood how to play music, v'alasabolim v'menatzchim, along with the reporters and people that were, I guess you could say, the Menatzkim, Lecholosei Melacha, and overseers for every part of the Melacha, La'avodu La'avoda, Me'alavim, Sofrim, Mishotrim, Mishoarim, all these people. V'osim ezekas v'muva beis Hashem, as they were taking out the money that they were bringing to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Matza Chilkiyo HaKohen, Chilkiyo, the Kohen Gadol, found as Sefer Torah Hashem Biad Moshe. The Sefer Torah Hashem in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu itself. Now, right here is the source of so much angst throughout all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael. If you'll notice in Divrei Yamin, it never said anywhere that Menashe destroyed all the Sifrei Torah. Did you see those words? Didn't say that anywhere. It just says that he did evil and they were doing Avodah Zarah and everything like that, and then he did Tshuva for 22 years. That's clear from the Pesukim, right? We didn't see those words. Even in Malachim, if we look right over here in Malachim, toward the end of Malachim Beis, you know, when Menashe is living, and we're dealing with how evil he was. Over here, by Menashe, it never said that he did tshuva. It doesn't say that whatsoever. He did evil and whatever it is, and he made them, let's see, the wording is, not like that. He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy them. He said he murdered, because he did. He murdered his grandfather. His grandfather was Yeshaya, and he did that. But it doesn't say anything about him getting rid of the Torah, destroying the Torah, or, you know, like losing the Torah for all of them, or whatever it is. Well, he just said that he was doing evil. Yeah, what were you
mentioned
saying?
That he was erasing God's name
from the Medrash. The Medrash says such a thing. In the Pesukim himself, it doesn't say that. So there are people that get up and honestly have the audacity to say that he got rid of all the Sifrei Torah. They had no Torah for like 20 years. No Sefer Torah for 20 years, right? And all of a sudden they found a Sefer Torah for the very first time. And they're like, oh my gosh, a Torah. We haven't seen a Torah in 20 years. You know why that's ridiculous? For many reasons. One of the biggest ones being, there were Nevi'im alive at the time. Nevi'im. How in the world? I don't understand it for whatsoever. But aside from that, you don't have a pasuk that says Menashe got rid of the Torah. Never says that. In which you can say, now they found his sefer. So here's the wording. Look what it says. Matzach el Yoah Kohen as sefer Torah Hashem biyad Moshe. You want to try to explain those words to me? Why not just say, he found a sefer Torah. Matzah sefer Torah. That's all it did. Sefer Torah Hashem biyad Moshe? What does that mean? So the obvious answer is, he found the sefer HaTorah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. In the days of Menashe, when the Kohanim were scared out of their minds that Menashe was going to destroy the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what they did? They hid the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't you have done that? You'd hide it. They hid it so well that they couldn't find it for years until Yoshia went looking. And then they found that Sefer Torah is Elohim. Vayitin Chilkiyo was a Sefer al Shafan. Chilkiyo then gave the Sefer Torah to Shafan, right? Shafan HaSofer. Oh, I'm sorry. Vayan Chilkiyo vayomer al Shafan. Chilkiyo then answered and said to Shafan HaSofer, Sefer HaTorah matosid beis Hashem. I found the Sefer Torah. I found it. Sefer HaTorah. Right? I found the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayitin Chilkiyo as a Sefer al Shafan. Chilkiyo gave the Sefer to Shafan. Vayavah Shafan as a Sefer al Melech. Shafan then brought it over to the king. Vayashav Odes HaMelech Dover Lamor. Kosher Nitam B'yad HaVedecha Yim Osim. Listen, he wanted to break the news slowly. Everything you commanded your servants to do, they did. Okay? They wanted to build up the base mission. I'm going to come back to this. They wanted to build up. Vayatichu as a kazanim tzav beis Hashem. They melted down the silver that was found in the base mission because it might have been used for avodah zarah. Vayinu al yada mufkadim al yada osei hamalacha. And they gave it over to the people in charge, right? And the workers themselves. Vayaged shafan asofer lamelech lemor. And then shafan asofer told it over to the king saying, Sefer nelson li chilkiyo akoin. A sefer was given to me by chilkiyo akoin. Vayikobo shafan lifnei hamelech. And shafan read it in front of the king. When the king heard the words of the Torah, he tore his clothing. Strange, right? Strange. According to Chazal, the reason why he tore his clothing, the reason why he was being so secretive, the Sefer Torah was open to the Parsha of the Tochacha, to the Parsha of this week's Parsha, of Sefer Devarim, Kisavo, open to the Tochacha, and it was open to the curses that Bnei Yisrael got. And that was an omen, and they understood the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. That was the omen. So when he told it over to the king, he said it in a compassionate way. He didn't say it over to him like, found a Sefer Torah and it was all about the Tochacha. I'm sure it's going to be okay. He went in a slowly but surely telling him what's going to be. That's what he ended up saying over here. And that's that. And when Yoshia heard that the Sefer Torah, after all he had just done, building up the Beis HaMikdash, getting rid of the Avodah Zarah, building up the people, everything like that, were still going to be destroyed, he tore his clothing. He said, Oy vey, I'm too late. I'm too late. I thought I was going to be able to save the people. I can't. Commanded them all. Go search God for me. Ask God, beseech him. About Anishar Yisrael for the rest of Israel of Yehuda. I'll divrate. I say for Hashem so about the words of the Sefer that we have found. Great is the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is burning against Asher. Because we have not kept the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our fathers did not keep the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's written in the Sefer, and therefore we deserve the punishment that's written inside here. It really is an absolute amazing thing over here. Absolute amazing thing whatsoever. Okay, number one. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, there were a few things that were always there. The Aron Kodesh was obviously in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aron Kodesh consisted of the Luchos that were inside there, the Kruvim that were on top, but there was more. Either the broken Luchos, it could be the broken Luchos or in another Aron, but likely it was the broken Luchos as well. There was also a Tzintzenes HaMun, a little thing of Mun to remind them that there was Mun. The Mate of Aaron, the staff of Aaron that flowered after the times of Korach, as well as an Argaz, a little treasury given to them by the Plishtim, if you'll remember, when the Aaron was taken, with golden rats and golden hemorrhoids, which is very strange, but that was placed by the Aron Kodesh itself. And the Sefer Torah Moshe Elokim. That's the Gemara Bava Basra that says the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was there. That Sefer Torah was missing, as we just said. It was taken out. They wanted to hide it to make sure that Menashe never got a hold of it or something like that. They put it over there and that's that. That Sefer was the one that was underneath. Chilkiyo found it accidentally and it surprised them. It surprised them completely. Okay, Rashi says it happened during the times of Achaz. I don't think we have to worry about that whatsoever. Either way, regardless, the Radak says, it doesn't make any sense. How in the world did he not restore this? He did not go ahead and restore all the Sefer Torah that were there, right? If he had done tshuva for 22 years of his life. Simple answer is, Menashe had no idea where it was. And the Kohanim wouldn't tell him. Why wouldn't the Kohanim tell him?
Because he would have erased that.
They weren't sure he really had done tshuva. They weren't sure. He had done tshuva, but do we know he did tshuva? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. They didn't want to do anything. They were worried about what was going to be, right? And because of that, they didn't go into anything whatsoever. So the idea behind this is, this was the special Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was normally in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was rolled to a divine message, which is the Tocha of Kisavo. They found it right over there, right? And that's the idea behind what had happened over here. Now, there are Rishonim, the Radak among them, I think the Radak, who says that this was a Sefer Torah. That there were Sefer Torah that were hiding by different people who worked in Klal. So there were certain people that had. But this was a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah that the people in Yerushalayim had not seen for years. That the public people had not seen for years. Now, how did they survive then? How did they have this? You got to remember, yes, we have the Sefer Torah when we learn the Torah itself. But there's also Torah Sheval Peh. The people may have been learning Torah Sheval Peh. They may have been learning.
You would have assumed.
Torah without.
The Nevi'im that were still.
Exactly. Learning. If they had people around, you'd have to assume they knew something. And they were learning whatever they could. They didn't have an actual Sefer Torah because they knew it was going to be burned or taken out, whatever it was. So they learned Torah Shabbat Pat. They learned Gemara. They learned Mishnayos. Listen, in Russia, even though all vestige of Judaism, and granted, in 60 years, many people lost their Judaism completely, completely intermarried and whatever it is. But this is in Israel with all Jews there. It seems very unlikely that they all would have lost it in a total of 30 years. In 30 years, you think they all would have forgotten? Are you kidding me? Do you know how obstinate Jews are? Do you know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. The line behind it is, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever that it would be that way. It seems that they put it together right over here. Now, for those people who want to go ahead and say that this was the first time a Sefer Torah was written, that there was no Torah before this, and the Sefer Torah was written right then, that also boggles the mind. This is the first time the Sefer Torah was written. Why would you write that his dad was evil? Why would you write that Menashe did all that evil stuff? Why would you write that he did tshuva? I don't even understand. What was the Beis HaMikdash for? The Beis HaMikdash was around at this time, right? What was it for if the history never existed before this? And if it was before, so who was the Beis HaMikdash for? It was for Baal? Then why wouldn't the Torah be a Torah for Baal? Why wouldn't they continue instead of making up a new god named Hashem that would give you so many more laws that are just ridiculous going on and give you certain, like 613 laws. Like when you want to start a new religion, I'm giving you a hint, Ellie, when you start your new religion, just make one law. Believe in God. And that's it. That's how you get people to listen. Not by adding on things. It's just so beyond understanding that somebody would say such a thing, right? It's just absolutely unbelievable. So they didn't know what to do. What did he do over here? He tore his clothing. He knew something was wrong over here, but they weren't sure over here. Here's an interesting line. Yirmiah is alive. Why didn't they go to Yirmiah and ask Yirmiah what to do? That's the main Shiloh that everybody asks. Why didn't they go to Yirmiah? So according to the Gemara, Reb Shilo said Yoshi was worried about what Yirmiah would say. What was Yirmiah saying for the past 10 years to everybody? Anybody would listen.
It's all
going to... is going to be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar is coming. You're all going to be destroyed. What do you think he's going to say if he finds a Sefer Torah? So he wanted to find someone else who would be a little bit more merciful. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Yochanan. Yirmiah wasn't in the country at the time. Yirmiah, I guess I could say, like, hashgacha-wise, wasn't there. He had gone to bring back the 12 tribes. So he wasn't around. The 10 tribes, the lost 10 tribes. Right, so he wasn't around. There was nothing he could do. So he told it over to the king. They brought it over to him, right? And he said, we got to do something. They went to Chulda, the Nevi'ah, who was a niece of Yirmiah. That's why they thought that Yirmiah wouldn't take offense by it. Ashes Shalom ben Takas, the wife of Shalom ben Takas ben Chasra, Shomer Abagadim, was in charge of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. V'yoshev is B'Yerushalayim. She lived in Yerushalayim, but Mishneh, right, in a certain area around there. And she used to be. Mishnah is interesting. Sounds like she was in the Beis Medrash all day. That's what it sounds like. She was learning all day long. It's a possibility. And they told her what had happened. She said to them, yeah. Maybe, oh, Devorah, Hanaviyah. Nice. But second. She said to them, go tell this over to the person who had sent you to me. Here is the biggest problem. Chulda, what does Chulda mean? Chulda is a weasel. Why was she named Weasel? Says Chazal, two women ended up becoming leaders in Klal Yisrael, Devorah and Chulda. Both of them are named for tummy animals. Chulda is a weasel, Devorah is a bee. Why do you name
bee?
A bee? That's what a Devorah is. Devorah is a bee, honeybee, right? So what's pshat? The answer is both of them had gaiva. When they were raised up to a certain level, they both had gaiva. Devorah Nevi'ah said, Ad shekamti ani Devorah, until I got up. Everything was bad until I got up. And she was named. You said, you think you're a great person? You're a bee. You're just a honey bee. Huldah, as soon as she's heard this message, she said, go tell the man that sent you to me. Go tell the king that sent you to me. You don't call Yoshia a man. You say it as a king. Even if the message was something negative, which it was, right? Nonetheless, you don't call him that. And because of that, unfortunately, she got punished. She was punished and named Huldah. And there was something bad over here. Shalom, by the way, was a great man in his own right. Right? It's possible that Shalom himself was a Navi as well. That Shalom himself was a Navi as well when it came down over here. Okay, there is an area around the southern gate that's called the Huldah Gate. It's possible the Huldah Gate was called that way because she opened up a base medrash there. Now, I don't want to be all braviners and say that it was a base medrash just for women. I have no idea. Maybe it was a base medrash for women. I would say likely she was part of, you know, the men were learning and she was so great, everybody invited her to come with. I would assume that's what it was over there. Maybe she was progressive. Maybe she was a woman's lib person. I highly doubt it. I don't think the times were ready for such things back then, right? But regardless, not that I have anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, right? I just don't think that's what was happening at the time that Huldah was there. But the main point was, just like Devorah taught everybody under the Tomer Devorah, under the palm tree. She specifically did that so there would be no issues of Yichud. Huldah did the same thing. She taught everyone publicly in an area of the Beis Mikdash where everyone would be, so there wouldn't be any problem whatsoever, so right over there. Some say that Huldah was an expert in Mishnah Torah, which is Devarim, and that's why she was called Bamishnah. She was teaching everyone Mishnah Torah. That was something that she was an absolute expert in, and that's what she taught everybody about. Okay, I don't think we're going to be able to finish. Let's stop with this Nevuah right over here. We'll stop. You're right. Chav Dalid. We'll stop with that Nevuah. I believe that next time, hopefully, we'll be able to finish all of Divrei Yamin. Shkai Chari, we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, what happened to Yoni? I thought Yoni and what's it called? We have a major problem tonight. Working. Yeah.
What about next door?
Oh, Ellie. Yes, I'm learning. There's a woman's shear next door.
Uh-huh.
I doubt...
Well, in the spirit of Huldah, they can come make a minion.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'd love so, but...